Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Yes, good to see you all once again this morning. And I'm very much excited that we are almost coming to an end of our series in the book of Psalms, that collection that is known as Pilgrim Songs, starting from 120 up to 134. And this morning, we'll be looking at Psalm 131, only three verses. And the title of my sermon this morning is The Quiet Soul, The Quiet Soul, Humility and Hope in the Presence of God. The Quiet Soul, Humility and Hope in the Presence of God. I'm going to need God's help, and you also going to need God's help for you to listen and for me to be faithful. Let me pray for us as we go through this passage together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much as we know that we live in a world that is full of noise. And we pray that God, you'll help us this morning, that our souls and hearts will be quieted. And that God, you'll teach us to be humble. And you'll teach us to hope in your presence as we go through Psalm 131. Help us, Lord, to be attentive. And Lord, to be able to explain your word with clarity. Teach us, Lord, to humble ourselves. This morning we pray for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Psalm 131, from verse 1 to 3, and the New Testament text that was read for us before by Brother Titus is Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 to 6. And the theme that I want to share with us this morning is, just leave it there, the theme that I want to share with us this morning is that true spiritual maturity is marked not by pride. It's not marked by pride or by ambition, but by humility, by contentment, and childlike trust in God. Let me say that once again. True maturity in Christ, spiritual maturity is marked not by pride. It's not by ambition, but by humility, by contentment, and childlike trust in God. And so you know that we live in a world that is very noisy. The world that is very, very noisy. Very noisy. And I want you to understand the still heart in a noisy world. Your heart lives in a world that is very noisy. I'm sure you believe me. We live in an age of noise, full of opinions, so many ambitions. Most of us, we have so many ambitions and so many things we want to achieve, many achievements. The world and the age is very noisy. Every one of us is striving to prove something. Every one of us is trying to make so many efforts, trying to prove something, or maybe to try and get somewhere, especially 2026. We're starting a new year. Everyone has got ambitions, and he would love or she would love to get somewhere. So this is a world full of noise. Now, this is true, especially at the beginning of this year, 2026, because we all have projects, we all have ambitions, we all have something we want to achieve, and we are living in a world full of these opinions. Psalm 131 invites us into a radically different posture. A radically different posture, which is restful humility. Restful humility. Now, this psalm only are three verses. You can see only three verses, and each verse gives us a movement. Only three verses, long. It is David's confession of spiritual composure. His composure spiritually. Not indifference, but peaceful surrender. Peaceful surrender. And so David, who is the writer of Psalm 131, has learned that maturity does not mean knowing everything. Because that's what we normally want, is to know everything ahead of you. Maturity is not about knowing everything, but it's about trusting the one who does know everything. You and I, just like our dear brother Gondo has prayed that we are creatures, we don't know everything. We will never know everything in this world. And maturity has got nothing to do with you knowing everything. But maturity has to do with you trusting the one who knows everything about you and where you are going on. And so the main idea of this text that I want us to navigate through is that spiritual peace comes not through prideful striving, but through humble trust. Resting like a weaned child in the care of God. Like a child who has just stopped navigating or transitioning from milk to solid food. The child is almost somewhere 9 months or something like that. The trust of that child is the one that the Psalm 131 is looking at. Psalm 130, the one that we saw last week, for those of you who were with us, ended with the soul of a human being waiting for the Lord. Now, Psalm 131 begins with that waiting of soul now resting in Him, resting in God. This psalm unfolds in three movements. There are three movements that we're going to look at, and every verse has got a movement to it. You can see that's the structure of Psalm 131. The first one is verse 1. The verse 1 is actually talking about the renunciation of pride. So I've got three R's that I'm going to share with you this morning. In verse 1 is renunciation of pride. David renounces his pride. And in verse 2, the second movement is the rest of contentment. The rest of contentment. And in verse 3, we have got the third movement, which is the last one, is the renewal of hope. Three things I want us to go through this morning. The renunciation of pride, the rest of contentment, and the renewal of hope. Let's start with the first one. The renunciation of pride. Have a look at verse 1. This is what David begins. You know, he says, "O Lord, O Yahweh," if you like. Because in your Bibles, the name Lord, I'm sure in your Bibles, is also written with all letters, capital letters. He says, "O Yahweh, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me." I want us to observe two things quickly there, as you can see. The first one there is the humility of heart and mind. David begins with a threefold negation. Have you seen that? Three times he negates something. Three times he says something in a negation, in a negative. Three times. Number one, he says, "My heart is not lifted up." That's the first negation. The second one, he says, "My eyes are not raised up." And the last one, he says, "I do not occupy myself with things." So he begins with threefold negation: the issue of heart, which is not lifted up; the issue of eyes, the eyes are not raised too high; and he goes on to say the issue of ambition, that "I do not occupy myself with things too great, things too marvelous for me." What does David do? Or what is he doing here? He rejects pride. When he says, "My heart is not lifted up," that's pride. He rejects pride, heart lifted up. He also rejects arrogance. When he says, "Eyes raised, my eyes are not raised up too high," that's arrogance. And he also rejects what we call presumption. You know, he goes on to say, "Matters too great." He says, "I do not occupy myself. I don't worry too much about things that are too great for me. Things that are too marvelous for me." Three negations. First is the heart. He rejects pride. Number two, he rejects arrogance and presumption. Have a look at that word that he uses there, pride. You know, in verse 1. He says, "Oh Lord, my heart is not lifted up." Lifted up denotes self-exaltation, because that's the tendency of human being. We have the tendency of lifting up ourselves, self-exaltation. You exalt yourself up there. Pride He is always part of a human being most of the time. But in David's Psalm 131, he rejects pride. He doesn't want to lift up himself. Especially as we go through 2026, which is full of mysteries ahead of us. But he also says himself that the issue that are too marvelous for him, he does not want to occupy himself with. Look at that verse once again. Actually uses two words there. The first one he says is too great. There are certain things that are too great for him. But there are also certain things that are too marvelous for him. So he uses those two words interchangeably. There are things that are too great for you. There are things that are too marvelous. What is it that David is trying to look at? He's trying to explain here. The whole point he's trying to make here is humility. He's trying to be humble with life. Because you are a creature. I'm a creature. You have to be humble. In your heart, you have to be humble. In your mind as well. David has learned to stay within his creaturely limits. Because you are a creature, I'm a creature, we've got boundaries. We've got limits. All of us, we've got limits. You can't actually act as a God. You will never be. You always face things that are too great for you. Things that are too marvelous for you. And so David rejects the whole idea of pride in life, the whole idea of arrogance in life, and the whole idea of being very presumptuous in life. He wants to be like a child who no longer insists on steering the car, but trusts the father at the wheel. That's what we call peace replaces pride. You know, you must believe, brothers and sisters, as you sit there, that there are things that God has revealed to us in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 18. Moses tells us that things that are hidden, they are secret, they belong to God. But things that are revealed, they belong to you and your children. The things that are revealed are for us. Those are the things we must occupy ourselves with. We make efforts to understand things that God has revealed for us in the scriptures. But things that God has hidden, they are too great to us. They are too marvelous. They are none of our business. You don't have to occupy yourself. That's what David says in 131. He says, I do not occupy myself. I don't stress myself with things that are too great for me. I don't stress myself with things that are too marvelous for me. This is things that belongs to Yahweh. When you begin to control things that are too great for you, that's not humility, number one. That's pride. And number two, is not only pride, it's lack of trust in God. God is wise, and in his wisdom, he has decided to hide certain things from us. In his wisdom, he has decided to reveal certain things to us. Now, when you begin to occupy your mind to wanting to know what God has hidden from you, you are stressing, you are going into a territory that is not for you, that belongs to God alone. And David says, number one, that he goes on to reject the whole idea of self-exaltation. Oh Lord, my heart is not lifted up. Number two, he says, my eyes are not raised up too high. But also the issue of occupy yourself with things that are too great for us. They belong to God. Spiritual growth often means unlearning self-reliance. You must unlearn your self-reliance. You must beware of a heart that always wants to manage, the heart that always wants to fix or control what only God can handle. There are things that God has given us that we can control, things that are under our charge, but there are certain things that they are beyond our capacity. And when you want to control what only God can control, you are going into a territory that does not belong to you. And you are going to develop unnecessary stress and depression upon you. David has learned not to occupy himself with things that are too great and things that are too marvelous for him. that they belong in the territory of God himself. When you walk at a restaurant, let's say you go to Nando's, which is my favorite. You go to Nando's or you go to KFC or you go to Angry Lion. You press your order. I want big bite three or whatever. They were the Angry Lion thing. Or whatever order you press there. Now what is happening behind the curtains in the kitchen is none of your business. What I do there is none of your business. Your business is to sit there and wait your order. The waiters will come and serve you. Now, if you want to control what is happening in the kitchen, you will never eat at any restaurant in Zambia. If you want to go there and ask a lot of questions, how did you cook this? Which water? Was it clean water? Wasn't it clean water? That is trying to occupy yourself with something too great. What is happening behind the curtains is none of your business. Your business is what has been served on the table. More especially, if you trust that particular restaurant. If you don't trust them, you'd want to peep into what does not belong to you. But if it's a restaurant that you trust, you don't have to worry. You just order and they'll bring food on the table. Whatever was happening behind the curtains, that is a territory that belongs to the restaurant. That does not belong to you. Unfortunately, we live in a world where most of us, we do not trust God, who is busy working a lot of things for you behind the curtains. What you want is to peep into and see what is it God you have for you, for me. That's what David has learned to say. I have stopped that kind of unnecessary activity in my life. Because in my life, what I do not occupy myself with things too great. I do not occupy myself with things too marvelous for me. Things that belong to God himself. You know, it is because of that heart of trying to control what God has hidden from us that has made so many of us visiting village witch doctors, visiting the so-called papas. Munioneko. Nuzenkon vaminifizabuela kusokola. 2026 younger Zaoneka Bwanji. These are things too great for David. These are things that David is calling too marvelous for him. I don't need to know. All I need is to trust God. God has got 2026 in his hands for me. I don't know what is going to happen in February. I don't know what is going to happen in March. I don't know. Those are things too great for me. I do not occupy. All I do is to trust God who knows and understands the future. If you don't trust God, you would want to visit so many churches to go and find out what is going to happen in my life. David does not. Beware of a heart that always wants to manage. Don't fix. There are certain things you can't fix. What you can fix, it is controllable. You know, the controllable circumstances that God has availed to us, we can control them. But things that are beyond your control, do not stress. Do not stress. What you can fix, God has given you grace to fix. But there are certain things that are just beyond you, you can't fix, you can't manage. Only God can fix, only God can handle, and only God can control. When you begin to, I always advise Christchurch Lusaka, that the quickest way to be mad, to begin to pick things on the road and go crazy, the quickest way is to try and control what you can't control. Is to try to be in charge of what you cannot be in charge. Let me give you an example. If you want to change something like the past, no matter how rich you are, no matter how wealthy you are, you will never, never change the past. Now, if you want to worry much about the past, you want to change it and so forth, you are going into a territory that is too great for you, too marvelous for you. And David has learned not to occupy himself with that. The past is something you cannot control. It has already gone. If you messed up in the past, you messed up. You can't go back there and undo. If there was a way Many of us would have gone back because there are so many terrible things we've committed. And each time we look back, we feel ashamed of ourselves. The only thing you can do is to learn from the past. You cannot change it. You are not in control of your past. You can't. You can learn from it. The other thing you cannot control is the nature. You can't change the nature. You can't control the nature. It's uncontrollable. It is something too great for you. It's something too marvelous for you. You can't. You know the other thing you can't control? You can't control other people's opinion. That is another area where it is too great for you. You can't manage and go and see every single person and tell them about, no, the story amene munamvela pari ni simwa mene, yenzeri sona sona so, you finish, you go to another neighbor. No, vamene munamvela simwa mene, ni mwamene, by the time you finish five houses, wamba kudowa my papers. Tezakupe some greatest roads. The greatest road, wajatazo pimpila na veve. You become mad because you can't manage to control what people have decided to think about you. You can't. It's something too great. It's something too marvelous. It's a territory that is difficult. You can't fix. So beware of your heart that always wants to manage or to fix or control what only God can handle. What you can do, what you can't, you must say like David, I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. That's what it means to be humble. That's what it means to be a person who trusts God. Let me give you an example of a pastor like me, for instance, here. A pastor who thinks the church will collapse if he rests, you know, he has forgotten that Christ, not him, is the head of the church. Because there are times that, you know, it will collapse. It is not your church. This is not my church. It's not. That's what Brother Gondwa has even indicated in prayer. But if you want to be totally in control of the church, to think that I don't have even to go and rest, because if I do rest, Christ Church Lusaka will collapse. That way of thinking is trying to occupy myself with things too great for me. This is too great. This is too marvelous. I can't manage that. Because by the end of the day, this is not my church. It is God's church. I also need to rest. I also need to go and sleep and say, God, take care of your church. Take care of, because I can't manage that. Or when we are church planters, like I am planting church, Christchurch Lusaka. You know, sometimes as a church planter, we may begin to panic over numbers every Sunday. And I think it's intentional that God has made it today like this. I was telling Susan this morning that it appears like this sermon is my sermon first before it's a sermon for Christchurch Lusaka. Because just this morning I received so many phone calls. Pastor, we are not coming. Pastor, we are not coming to church. Pastor, we are not coming to church. This is, I can't, you know, I can begin to panic at the end of the day. But David is reminding me this morning to say, I do not occupy myself with things too great. This is something beyond my control. This is something I can't fix, I can't manage. It is only God. But if you begin to panic as a pastor and then you look at the numbers in church, you begin to worry about it. This is beyond you. You know, it's like you are trying to harvest what only God can grow. I can't. I'm not in charge of the outcome. It is God who's in charge of the outcome. What I do is to study my texts thoroughly and pray for each one of you. And on a Sunday like this, I come and deliver the word of God faithfully. I do what I can. What I cannot do, I can't occupy myself. I trust God for the outcome. It's God who does it. A leader who must control every decision has not yet learned to trust God with community. Don't be a control freak. Don't be a control freak. Even Munyumba, you are a parent who want to control every single thing. There are things that are just you can't fix. You cannot control. You cannot be in full in charge. For those of you who are parents, I thought you can agree with me that parenting is not something easy. It's difficult. Parents who try to control their children's future, you can't control. This is beyond you. You forget that raising children is not something that you have full control. It is God who has the power to transform the people's hearts. So your job is to raise those children, to expose them to the Word of God, to bring them every evening and sit down. But when it comes to the change of heart, that is something too great. That is something too marvelous. You cannot go into the heart of your child and begin to fix the things there. You can't. Mwanangati apusa apusa chap. There's nothing you can do about it. All you can is just do what you can is to pray for this child. If it means to lay hands on him, lay hands on him. But the rest of the things, it is beyond us, brothers and sisters. We can't change people's hearts. You can't. You cannot change what someone has already made up his mind to think about you. You can't. If you want to go like that in 2026, you'll develop unnecessary stress. David says, I do not occupy myself with things that are too great, things that are in the hands of God. It is God who fixes people. So a faithful preaching of the word of God will do that. I'm not going to manipulate Christ Church Lusaka to give. We preach the gospel and it is God who goes into the hearts of people. That is something that is beyond me. I can't use mechanism of trying to manipulate people. That is trying to go into the territory of God. It is God who works in people's hearts. God reminds people. The Holy Spirit works in the hearts of the people. And those who are faithful to the word of God, they will act. God is going to grow this church. So this morning, God is reminding me to say, Paul, you know what? That is not your church. Growth is not your responsibility. It is God's responsibility. My responsibility is to teach and preach the word of God. Not every problem needs a family meeting. No. Some problems in family, they are just beyond us. Whenever there's a problem, tense in Kalepansi, Muzale manama meetings. Not every problem in a family you need to have a meeting or maybe to visit a prophet or maybe to have a connection somewhere. No, some, they just need prayer and waiting on the Lord. That's what David is telling us. I do not occupy myself with things too great. I want us to believe that. From today, as we go out of this place, you must be humble enough to know that you are a creature. You are not God. You cannot be in control of every single thing. You can't. That's what David has rejected. Three things here. He says very clearly, number one, is the issue of hearts. Oh Lord, my heart is not lifted up. Oh Lord, my eyes are not raised too high. I am humble and I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage us this morning. As we go through 2026, which is full of mysteries, we don't know where we are heading. We have to trust God. We have to be humble. Let's do what we can. What we can't, we leave it in the hands of the Lord. Let's fix what God has given us ability to fix. The things we can't, we leave it in the hands of the Lord. We trust God. That is humility. That is what we need to do. Jesus himself embodied this humility perfectly. You know, in John chapter 8, verse 28 and verse 50. This is what he says. He says, I do nothing on my own authority. I seek not my own glory. His humility is our model of redemption. So that's what he does in the first place. David renounces what we call pride. Don't go through 2026 full of pride and think that you can fix things on your own. Move on. Don't try to explain yourself too much. Change your mind and move on. Use the word of God. Trust God to change your mind and your opinion. You don't have to change people's thoughts. That is an area which is difficult. If they choose to trust you, if they don't choose to trust you, where you know that you are wrong, you correct your wrongs and you move on. You never find everyone clapping your hands on you. You always find someone who always look for a fault in you. Always. Now, if you want to please every human being in whatever you are doing, you will never do. Move on and trust God is with you. Things that are beyond your control, leave them in the hands of the Lord. This church, I'm trying to challenge the leaders of Christ Church Lusaka. We must trust God for the growth of the church. It is His responsibility. Let us be faithful and do what we can. Let us not manipulate people. Let us not use human mechanism. Let's do what we can do and leave the everything. Let us renounce pride. And that's what you should go through. Now, as you go out of this place today, you know that 2026, God has rebuked me to say I should renounce pride. Having renounced pride, David now describes the inner posture that replaces it. When you reject pride, what is it that should replace it? He talks about quiet, wind heart. The second point. The rest of contentment. Because that's what he says. Look at the verse begins with a but. The first part is something that renounces, he rejects. The second part is something that should replace. Because that's what he says, you know, my eyes are not raised up too high. I do not occupy myself with things that are too great and too marvelous. That's the first movement. The second movement, David now, he says, but there's something I do. I have raised, that's what I have raised, I have calmed and quieted my soul. Instead, that's what I do. I have calmed my soul. I have quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. And you repeat, like a weaned child with is my soul within me. That's the second movement, rest and contentment. I want to see the picture of peace. The image now here shifts from struggle to serenity, the second movement. It's talking about a weaned child. Because a weaned child no longer cries for milk, but rests content in the mother's presence. There's a picture. Maybe you can, yes. A weaned child is that kind of a child who has just transitioned from milk to solid food. This child no longer cries for milk, but rests contentment in the mother's presence. The bond remains between mother and child, but dependence matures now. It's no longer that child that depends on milk. There's now dependence matures from need for gifts to trust in the giver. This child now begins to trust in the giver. This is the example that David says, instead of pride and presumptuous kind of attitude, that must be replaced with contentment. Be content with what God has provided for you. What is in the table? Don't be greedy. God is going to provide for you. Be just like a child. Take us back. Like a wind child. Now the verb that David uses here, look at verse 2 once again, but I have calmed. That word calmed. I have calmed. That verb is talking about composure. It seems I have composed myself. And it goes on to say, I have quieted. These words are deliberate. Very deliberate. Have a look in your Bibles. Do those two verbs. He says, I have calmed and I've quieted my soul. They are very deliberate. You know why? Why they're deliberate? Because peace is not accidental. If something has done, I have composed myself. I have calmed my soul. You know, what does that mean? It means that in the first place, the heart of David was not quiet. The heart of David was not quiet, was actually disturbed, was a stormy heart, full of so many stress and thoughts. David has now learned to actually quiet his heart and compose himself. Peace is not something accidental. If you want peace in 2026, it is not something accidental. It's something that you cultivate through faith. It's a discipline, something that you have to cultivate. That's what David has said. I have calmed my soul. You must learn to calm your soul. You must learn, instead of occupying yourself with things that are too great for you, things that are too marvelous for you, instead of going into the territory that is under God's control alone, you must learn to quiet your soul. You must learn actually to cultivate that peace of mind in your heart. All of us, we are like that, including myself. Sometimes I have restless nights. Sometimes you have sleepless nights because of trying to occupy yourself with things that are too great. For those of you who are students, when you do your job to write your exam properly, and then you study first, and then after studying, then you write your exam very well, you put on your effort, this is all you can do. You cannot control how your lecturer is going to decide on you. Leave it with him. Some lecturers, they've got issues with you. Some they may decide to give whatever they want, but let me do what I can. Whatever he's going to do, it is his own business. But of course, there are some times where it is too much. You can go and appeal and so forth and so on. I learned that. I used to cry when I was growing up because each time in every class I used to come out number one. I was very smart. Number one. When I come out number two, I'll get a paper and throw it away and begin to cry. This is not me. This is not me. But after nakula na unakuti, nifachevecheve, mini chita. Why should I? Because when someone decides to give you whatever they want, decide, they are human beings. They can decide whatever they want at the end of the day. This is something I don't have to occupy. I need to teach my heart to kunkazi kika. Not every holiday you need to be somewhere. Not every party you have to be there. There are people, I mean, my party is here, my fita. You have to be there. You have to dress up in a certain way. You have to learn to quiet your heart. That's what David says. I have quieted my heart. I have composed myself. It has been a long journey. I've learned to be at peace. It's not something that is going to come like a given on a silver plate. No. It is something you need to cultivate. At a certain point, you just learn to be cool. Whether you have it or you don't have it, you trust God like a weaned child in the mother's hands. God knows what to give you. He knows the best for you. He knows when to give it to you. You must learn to trust God like that. Think of a baby finally asleep. Take us to that picture again. Finally, the baby is even asleep in the mother's arms after struggle of tears. After you've struggled and struggled and struggled, eventually you've learned to say, what am I going to do? Let me just sleep in the hands of God. Breathing heavenly and self-content, that little child. This is how God wants you to be in 2026. After you've struggled too much, after you've cried too much, then you've gone through a process of learning how to quiet your soul. How to actually compose yourself and finally fall asleep like a little child in the hands of God and say, God, I trust you and what you have for me. Contentment. It's what God is asking us to do for 2026. Because God knows our future is the one who knows the best of our lives. Sometimes what you call the best is not the best. Sometimes what you think, God, I need it, it's not exactly what you need. He knows our need. We may present before God our wishes and our wants. God, I want this, I wish this in my life. Those wishful thinking may come to pass or they may not come to pass because God, as the mother, knows what you need and when you need it. And David goes on to say in that verse, I have compose myself. We must be people like that. Don't have a heart that is always up there. You may end up into so many Congoles. You may end up into so many troubles. Some of you may even go into so many bad businesses in 2026 because your heart is not at rest. Your heart is not like that little child sleeping in the hands of the mother. Because you want to occupy yourself with something too great for you. You must breathe. You must now be content in the hands of God. That is the psalmist's soul after surrender. At the end of the day, we must surrender our souls in the hands of God. Because how long are you going to occupy yourself with things that you cannot control? For how long? You must replace pride with contentment. Many of us still relate to God as unweaned children. You must be like a weaned children. Only content when He gives what we want. This is the kind of Christianity we have in Zambia. This is the kind of Christianity we have in Africa. People are always content only when God gives them what they want. When God has decided to withhold something from them, they are not content. You know, they begin to have so many questions. They question the wise God, the God who knows and understands everything. They bring questions and interrogation to this God. Why me? Why me this? Why have you given that one this and that, but you didn't give it to me? God wants you to be like that little child in the hands of the mother. You must surrender. You must learn to quiet your soul. By the way, it's not something that comes accidentally. It's something that you cultivate after some time. Even me as a pastor of the church, I need to quiet my soul. Whenever I see the ups and downs of the church, whenever I see the growth of the church, whenever I see some people are not coming, some are coming to church, some are leaving and so forth and so on, you know, I need to learn to quiet my soul. Otherwise, that's why to see many pastors now are manipulators. They are manipulators, and some of them are trying to look for shortcuts because they want numbers in church. And shortcuts, some of them, they actually go in as far as even getting some juju. Okay? Because they want to have so many numbers. God is telling us we must replace pride with contentment. Maturity learns to rest even when God withholds. You know, when God withholds something, you rest in Him. God, you know. You pray too much for something, but God does not give it to you. He doesn't. You just sleep like a little child in the hands of God. You say, God, you know, I may not understand why. You know, there's nothing wrong to say, God, why this? And why not this? There's nothing wrong. But at the end of the day, God is sovereign, is not obliged to answer all your whys. Trust Him. God, I expected this for 2026, but this is what You've given me. I trust You. God, I thought things would go my way this way, but this is what You've decided. I trust You. Contentment. And you see, there's what we call discipline of stillness here. Because David's peace was learned. Did you see that? The peace of David is not something that he received on the table. It's something that he learned, not inherited. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to challenge you. Peace of mind is something you must learn. Contentment is something you must learn. Because David says, he said himself, he calmed and quieted his soul, implying that it was once stormy. Even your heart is stormy, my heart is stormy. But you must learn to quiet it. It should be a discipline. If you don't discipline your heart, it will be a restless heart. You want wanting to get anything, wanting to go anywhere, wanting to get whatever you want and so forth and so on. But remember, you're a creature and God has got something in your heart. David himself here, David learned peace through failures and waiting, not through incident. You know what God does sometimes? You may be smart in school. You may be very intelligent, but deliberately God may make you to fail, to teach you to be humble. He does that. You begin to cry. I never thought I would fail here. I never thought I would go this way. God may deliberately teach you to be humble by allowing you to be down and to fail. David went through a lot of failures, and God taught him how to wait in Him through so many situations. As a young man, David was anointed king, but then spent years fleeing from Saul all the time, hiding in caves, betrayed by friends. Sometimes God may allow that. He may allow some friend to betray you, even closest friends. Those that you thought are going to be with you, in his wisdom, God may allow those friends to betray you. We see David repeatedly given the chance to take the throne by force. He did not get that one. What is God doing here? He's teaching him the discipline of quieting. So at the end of the day, he's going to be calm. More than once, Esau was stormy. The soul of David was stormy more than once, fearful. More than once, he was angry, tempted even to act. Life can be tempting, brother. Sometimes you may go some stress. You feel like you want to stand to react to everybody. I was telling my wife yesterday, there are certain people, just leave them. Here, I can't take a phone. I also don't have my airtime. Don't waste. Because as you grow, you begin to let go certain things. No, whatever story you hear, you pick up a phone call, let me call Gondwe. Why did you say this on me? And so forth and so on and so on. No, it's not me. It's actually patient who told, okay, let me go to patient now. Whatever series I want. How much do you have? Sometimes in life, you just learn to let it go. That's what David was taught. But how do you reach to that point? God will take you through. At times, God may raise people against you. Adam, God may raise Satans against you. Even those are very close to teach you to be humble. You know, that's what we see in David. Yet he learned to quiet his heart by refusing to seize what God has promised and instead waiting for the Lord to act. David's calm in Psalms 131 that did not come naturally. When he says, I have calmed my soul, that calmness did not come naturally. It was formed through long obedience, restraint and dependent, and repeated surrender to God. Another example, brothers and sisters, is a believer. A believer learns peace when life does not go as you plan. You plan things certain way, and God, in his wisdom, he does not allow those things to go the way. You may be a parent seated here, you may be a worker, you may be a student, you know. And you begin the year with anxious. You begin here with a lot of anxious, worried about money, worried about children. If you are a parent, you are worried about health, worried about the future. You are worried about all of things. At first, your heart is actually restless as you begin the year, as a student, as a worker, as a parent. It's restless, overthinking. How am I going to navigate through these things? I don't have money and so forth and so on. Overthinking and sleepless night, trying to control the outcomes. Over time, through prayer and disappointment and learned trust, the person slowly stops panicking, stops forcing answers, and you begin to rest in God's care. Still concerned, but no longer overwhelmed like you used to be. The quiet soul is not born overnight. Because David says, I've quieted my soul. It's not something that is born overnight. No. It is shaped as believers repeatedly hand their worries to God and learn that God remains faithful. So don't be surprised sometimes 2026 may not go the way you thought. May not. Don't be surprised. But learn to trust God like a weaned child in the hands of God. Stillness is an act of faith. In prayer, we stop striving. Let go of the outcomes and surrender. And remember that he is God, I am not. This lesson should actually sink in your heart so strongly. Remind yourself every day, he is God, I am not. You are not. Why do you want to play God? Why do I have to play God? I am creature is God. He is in control of everything. Christ on the cross mouthed his surrender. You know what Jesus said on the cross? Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. That's what you must do. Commit your spirit in the hands of God. Because you trusted perfectly, we can now rest securely. Now the psalm moves from personal stillness to communal hope. The peace of one heart becomes the prayer of a nation. Now that takes us to the last point. The renewal of hope. Have a look at verse 3. O Israel, hope in Yahweh from this time forth and forevermore. Did you see that? From individual peace to corporate trust. So the psalmist's serenity spills over into exhortation. Because he has learned now to quiet his heart. He has learned to compose himself even in the midst of things that he doesn't understand. Now he goes on to teach others. It has gone into an exhortation. You know, you cannot give something you don't have. You cannot go and begin to tell people about they should trust in God when you don't trust in God yourself. David's heart has been quieted. His heart has been composed and it has been calmed. Because he has learned to quiet his heart, now he has the right to exhort other people to hope in God. This is very, very important. Having found rest in himself in God, he invites Israel to share in it. That's what he says in that verse, hope in Yahweh. If you are a husband, you have managed to find the rest in God, then you encourage your wife, or your children, whoever, or your friends, you encourage them to have hope in God. So hope is very is something that we expect. For those of you who are with us in last week, in Psalm 130 and verse 5, we looked at that. Hope, that is something we expect. This actually links these two psalms together. You know, peaceful souls are very contagious. When your heart is at peace, you'd want to contaminate the people around you with that peace. When you are a restless person, you would want to contaminate everyone around you with restlessness. Find peace and contaminate the people around you with the peace of mind. That's what the psalmist is doing. Because he's now peaceful, he's now sharing with others. The calm heart becomes a witness that invites others to trust. Now, a calm leader, if you're a father or you're a leader in church, you're a president of the nation, a calm leader, you know, steadies, you know, a panicked crowd. You stand and you encourage people, the crowd that is panicking. Likewise, a humble believer points anxious hearts to God's faithful care. Brothers and sisters, our hope, like David, rests not in self-composure. Our hope rests in Christ's completed work. He is both, you know, Jesus is both the wind child and the faithful Lord, fully trusting and fully trustworthy. Because Jesus trusts in the Lord, in the Father, and is also trustworthy. We can be in his hands like that. The pilgrim journey that began in distress, Psalm 120, now pauses in peace in Psalm 131. Before ascending further to Zion's praise, the soul rests in peace in Psalm 131. The soul rests quietly in trust. Let me conclude. Psalm 131 is a theology of holy simplicity. What did we see in the first movement? Pride replaced by humility. Someone who's anxious, anxiety replaced by calm. Restlessness replaced by trust. So spiritual maturity is not noisy. No. It's not ambitious striving. No. Spiritual maturity is quiet surrender to God's care. As we move on together in 2026, spiritual maturity is when you quietly surrender to God. The soul that trusts like a child sleeps in the arms of providence, even when the storm still rages. We are in God. There's a surprise here. The eternal Son of God became the humble child so that restless sinners like you and I could find rest in the Father. You must be still in God. Can you take us quickly to those three movements at the beginning? the three movements of, just to help us remember this. And I want the church to just stand and read, and read this together with me. The three movement of Psalm 133, and our dear brother at the end, I think he will bring us in the benediction, which is all of us saying together. Just to remind ourselves of the three movements, let's read all these movements together. The first one is the renunciation of pride. Second one, the rest of contentment. The last one, the renewal of hope. Can we say it once again? The renunciation of pride, the rest of contentment, and the renewal of hope. Amen. God bless.